Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 33 of Revelation chapter 2, and we're reading in verses 26 and 27. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And in our last study, we were looking at verse 27 statement that he who has to be the Lord Jesus, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And we looked at all the places in the Bible where that particular phrase is used, and it's found four times, three times in the book of Revelation and once in Psalm 2. And let's just read it again. We need to get familiar with this. And the more we read something, the more familiar we become. It says in Psalm 2, verse 7, I will declare the decree. Jehovah has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen. Now, the word heathen is actually a translation of the same Hebrew word translated as sometimes Gentiles or nations. I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And this would be referring to the heathen or to the nations, just as it says in Revelation chapter 19, and we also read this in verse 13, speaking of Christ, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. It's a common ingredient to these verses where we find the rod of iron mentioned. He should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now remember, it was back in Revelation 14 that we were reading of the day of the wrath of God, the day of the Lord, or judgment day. And it said in verse 18, and another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And we did a study in Revelation 14, and we saw that the blood coming out of the winepress for the space of this 1,600 furlongs is pointing to Judgment Day, which began on May 21 of 2011, and the continuing ongoing judgment. It is called a single day, Judgment Day, but the Bible teaches it will be longer than a day. And the Bible permits this, and there's biblical allowance for this. We've looked at that before, where God, it's his prerogative. If he so chooses, he can identify a long period of time as a single day. And that's what he's done here. So it is God himself. It's the winepress of the wrath of God, in which the clusters of the vine of the earth are cast, and then they're trodden without the city, and blood comes out of the winepress this space of 1,600 furlongs. And this points to God bringing his punishment upon the unsaved people of the earth, and there's a good possibility that the 1,600 furlongs are representative of 1,600 days, which would complete the wrath of God on sinful mankind, because the Great Tribulation period, the time in which judgment began at the house of God, continued for 8,400 days. And then there was a day of transition when Judgment Day began, and really it's a day of expansion. The judgment was already underway, but now it expanded to not only be judgment on the church, but now to include all unsaved inhabitants of the earth. And the 1,600 days added to 8,400 days would bring the sum total of number of days of judgment upon mankind for their sinful rebellion against the Lord to 10,000 days of judgment. And that would indicate the completeness of the wrath of God upon the sinner. That this is the complete payment that the law demands for violating the word of God, for transgressing against it. And it is this period of time, this 1,600 days, that we'll find is a time in which God is looking at the earth as a conquered foe. The nations of the world have been beaten. They were defeated on May 21. Satan's kingdom of darkness was defeated on May 21 in 2011. And he himself, who was given rule and authority way back in the Garden of Eden when he deceived Adam and Eve, And they ate of the forbidden tree, thereby believing the lie and serving sin and Satan, and became subject to him. Remember when the Lord Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and the devil came to him, it says in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 8, and said, "Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Now, notice that Christ did not correct him concerning the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And as he said, all these things will I give thee. Satan saying that to the Creator, to the Lord, that he would give him the nations. How could he say that? Well, because by right of conquest, when Adam and Eve fell into sin and obeyed the lie, Satan is the father of lies, rather than the truth, and God is truth, then they began to serve him. And so this rule of Satan continued throughout time, to one degree or another. And then at the end of time, what did God do? Well, yes, he bound Satan at the cross in a figurative way and limited his activities so that he could not hinder the going forth of the gospel to the degree God wanted it to go forth during the church age. But he was still active, even in the churches themselves. He was sowing tares amongst the wheat. He was going about as a roaring lion. He was very active in the world, seeking whom he may devour. And yet he was bound at that time. But at the time of the end, God loosed him. And we read in Revelation 13, just striking language of the beast that comes up out of the sea and out of the earth, and the rule that was given to this beast, as it says, let's see, let's go back there to Revelation 13, and it says in verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns." And a crown is what a king wears, because a king has dominion and rules. "And upon his heads the name of blasphemy." And in verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him," or authority, "to continue 42 months. That is, God gave him authority to rule in the churches for the duration of the Great Tribulation, here typified by 42 months, but we know an actual 23 years was the timeline of the Great Tribulation. And God allowed him to rule in the world as the world was given up to its sinful tendencies, its wickedness, like never before. So Satan began to rule in the church as the man of sin, taking his seat, showing himself he is God. It was a glorious time for him and the kingdom of darkness. And yet it was a limit placed upon it for the duration of the Great Tribulation. At the end of the Great Tribulation, then at that point, the Great Tribulation concluded at the same time the latter rain, or the day of salvation, ended, the second Jubilee came to a close. These are all synonymous statements. And God had saved the last of his elect. He had finally ransacked the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, and had rescued and delivered all of those whose names were written down in his book of life. And now the war was over, as the battle had raged over these elect, as God went forth with the gospel to save them, and Satan tried everything in his deceptive armament to hinder God from saving, to stop God from saving just one of these people if he could. That was the battle that raged throughout the centuries. And that came to an end because now all the elect were saved. God no longer was spearheading an assault into the world, into Satan's kingdom, to find his lost sheep. They've all been found. Now the judgment has come. Satan's period of reigning in the world and in the church has ended. It was only given him to rule for 42 months, and the Lord puts him down. He is deposed. He is defeated, a conquered enemy, and so are the nations that are a part of his kingdom of darkness. All has finally come to an expected end, and God now is victorious. The Lord Jesus Christ begins to reign on the earth. On the earth, as it says in here in Revelation 19:15, "And in his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." God is joining together the Lord's ruling with a rod of iron and treading the winepress, which brings us back to that verse in Revelation 14, verse 20, For a space of 1,600 furlongs, the blood flows out, or the lives is the blood. The life is in the blood, the Bible says. The lives of the wicked continue for a space of 1,600 days, during which time the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling. Notice, well, it says in verse 16 of Revelation 19, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have you ever noticed that statement before? It's one of those wonderful phrases and verses that really sticks in your mind, and we just sit in awe at the grandeur and the glory, at the greatness and the majesty of the Lord God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says earlier in Revelation 19 in verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And now this statement in verse 16, he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this declaration, this glorious title that is bestowed upon Christ, this title, this name of Christ, is a particular title that is given at a particular time. That's something I never noticed before, but I've looked up this phrase, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I've been able to find it just three times. One other time is in 1 Timothy in chapter 6. And it says in verse 14 and 15 that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, these verses have a lot of interesting things about them, but one thing just to point out for now, that it's referring to the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That would be his second coming, or his coming in judgment. And when he appears, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate. You see, God has been very long-suffering and demonstrating just incredible humility in regards to the claims of Satan, and in regards to permitting Satan to have rule over the unsaved people of the earth while this world continued, and especially at the end during the little season of the Great Tribulation. But God also had a plan to demonstrate, to show forth. And this word means exactly that, to show. It's a word that we actually saw in our study of Revelation in chapter 1, in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. That is, God is going to reveal and to show. It means exactly what showing somebody means. Come here, I want to show you something. And then we pull something out of our pocket and we show it to him. Well, in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. And it most certainly is not the devil. It is not Satan. No matter how desperately he wanted to be like God, and no matter that God permitted him to be that abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, that the Lord permitted him just for that little season to take his seat to reign really in the churches as king over the church, to rule with authority over the congregations. All right, God did that for his own purposes. He used Satan really only as a destroying weapon to wreak havoc upon the congregations, to bring utter destruction to a rebellious church. That's all that Satan was good for. But now God will show. He will show he is the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he shows this at his coming, at the day of judgment, when Satan is put down. Now, there's a third place that uses this language, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but I think it's reversed here in Revelation chapter 17. And this is a significant place for God to make this statement. In Revelation 17, beginning in verse 10, "And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space." Now, these seven kings are describing the reign or rule of Satan over the history of the world. And five were fallen, in the figure God is using, by the time we reach the book of Revelation, or the first century AD. That is, a large portion of Satan's reign has elapsed, because there's only a limited time to Earth's existence, and yet he still has a period to rule. So there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and that would be the present reign of Satan over the unsaved, over the wicked, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And that would be finally at the end, when Satan is loosed for the little season, a short space of the great tribulation. "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven," because it's that seventh kingship, that seventh period of reign in which the beast will enter into the church and so forth, or comes up out of the sea. "And he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." And again, 1 hour is a figure representing the entire period of the Great Tribulation, and it's confirmed because they receive their power or authority with the beast, and the beast is the name given to Satan exclusively for his reign or rule during the time of the Great Tribulation. And then it says in verse 13, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." Now let's listen to verse 14. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Well, now this is what we had read back in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." And here we find that Satan has dared to war with the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ overcomes him. He overcomes the king, the ten kings that ruled with the beast. He overcomes the rulership, the authority, the kingdom of Satan, that was reigning, especially for that 1 hour. And this is why now the statement is made, "For he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings." This is the victorious crowning of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Day of Judgment on May 21 in the year 2011. You know, we really haven't appreciated hardly at all what took place on that day. Yes, we recognize it was the Day of Judgment. Yes, we recognize that it began a period of severe testing for the people of God. And yes, we realize all the elect were saved and there's no need to evangelize the world any longer. We learn those things, but we have not properly realized the grand nature of the crowning of the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings, the long-standing rule of Satan since the Garden of Eden, the rule of Satan that was magnified and grew to include the churches and all the nations of the world in an especially grievously wicked way during these last few decades of the Great Tribulation, has come to an end. And now, just as Cyrus took the kingdom, and Cyrus became king of Babylon, and Cyrus is a type of Christ, so the Lord Jesus has taken the kingdom from Satan, the kingdom that Satan dared to offer him if Jesus would fall down and worship him. Well, of course, that was a blasphemous thought for Satan to think, let alone to offer to the Lord, and Christ had no need for Satan to give him anything. He took it by force of power. He took it by the glorious conquering of the kingdom of darkness, by overcoming the wicked, by saving all those to be saved. And now the Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who reigns supreme. Yes, he is ruling with a rod of iron. Well, you know, we need to still look at that language, rod of iron, and we will, Lord willing, in the next couple of studies. But also, in our next study, we're going to look at one of the theological positions of eschatology that many people hold in Christian circles, called premillennialism. The premillennialists actually have a system of doctrine in which they refer to verses like Psalm 2 and Revelation 19 to offer as their proof text for the reign of Christ on earth. That they say, wrongly, that Christ will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And we'll look at some of the things that they teach in their system, not too much, because they teach several errors. But they have something very right. And we're going to look at what they say in our next study, and then we'll see how it actually is now that we have this advantageous position of living in the Day of Judgment.